I stumbled upon a Craigslist ad for a beautiful antique piano at an unbeatable price. I'd been really searching for one for a while, and these types of pianos can be unbelievably expensive if the seller knows its true value. I emailed the seller, and he quickly replied. He seemed friendly and said he was excited to meet me and show me the piano. The address he gave me was a bit off the beaten path, out in a rural area outside of town, but I didn't think anything of it. Thursday evening, right on schedule, I hopped in my car and started the drive out there. It was already dark, and the winding roads were getting more and more questionable as I went along. I was quickly becoming unnerved. When I finally reached the address that he had given me, it looked like an old church. I guess I just didn't know the difference between an old farmhouse and an old church, though. They all kind of looked the same in my mind, so I thought that's what it was. I saw the man walking out of the front door, waving at me and calling my name. Hesitantly, I got out of my car and began to make my way over to him. He was tall and thin, with dull, beady eyes and a quirky smile. He seemed friendly, but there was something off about him.
"Welcome," he said. "I hope the drive wasn't too bad."
I nodded, trying to compose myself and push aside the uneasy feelings. He led me inside the place, which I immediately noticed that it likely was actually an old church, but it had been converted into some sort of makeshift musical instrument museum. There was all kinds of gear lining the walls. Drums, banjos, guitars, and a host of other instruments. I didn't spot the piano, though. I turned and asked him where the piano was.
"It's downstairs," he replied.
I hesitated, something not feeling right with the way he said it. Nonetheless, I followed him down a narrow hallway where a staircase led down below. He grabbed a heavy flashlight before starting down those stairs. As we reached the bottom, he turned to me and gave me a lopsided grin.
"It's down here, don't worry."
He shined the flashlight on a small room off to the side. I hesitated, unsure if I should go in, but I was too far in to back out now. We entered the room. The man flicked the lights on, which were dim, just enough to see the piano sitting in the center. The problem was, it looked nothing like the picture in the ad. The wood was chipping, keys were missing from one end of the keyboard, and it was quite a bit smaller than I anticipated.
"It's not quite what I was expecting,"
I said, trying to sound polite, but my disappointment was clear in my voice.
"I'm sorry it's not quite what you were looking for," he replied.
He crossed his arms and leaned against the wall, watching my every move. I felt like a trapped animal, self-aware and panicky. The whole setup was weird, and I felt like I needed to leave.
"Thanks for this. I think I'll pass on it, though."
I looked over at the man, who was still leaning against the wall, with a crooked smile on his face.
"Is there anything else you'd like to look at?"
he asked.
"No, I'm okay,"
I stuttered, feeling threatened by his tone.
"I think that's all for today."
I quickly rushed out of the room, entering the dark, unlit hallway. I managed to find the stairs and quickly made my way up, leaving out the front door. Even though I had managed to escape, I couldn't shake the feeling that there was something more sinister going on. Maybe it was the way John had looked at me, or the way he acted, or just the tone in his voice. When I got home, I opened my laptop and looked up the address. Online, it showed a picture of the old church. It was labeled as a historical music museum, open only on the weekends for viewings. I looked into it further and didn't find any information about them selling anything. My body shook and I closed my laptop. I had likely escaped something awful. I was already skeptical with sites like Craigslist, but after that, I was done. I haven't used Craigslist or even Facebook Marketplace after that night. Because really, when you think about it, you're taking a gamble on your life over some used items. Don't use Craigslist. And if you do, Never let your guard down. Having just moved to a new city, I turned to Craigslist to find someone to share my new apartment with. As soon as I saw his post, I contacted him. His name was James. We exchanged a few emails and phone calls, and things seemed to be going well. A few days later, we agreed to meet in person to discuss the details. At first, James seemed like a friendly and easygoing guy. He was in his early 30s and kind of reminded me of myself. We talked for a while about our interests and hobbies, and he shared some funny stories about his previous roommates. As we were wrapping up our conversation, James suddenly got very serious.
There's something I have to tell you. It's kind of important. I have a condition that sometimes makes some people uncomfortable.
I looked at him, confused.
What condition? Sleepwalking,
he said.
And it's pretty severe. I just want you to know that up front, in case it was a problem.
I shrugged and said it was fine. Not a big deal. The first few weeks went by without incident. James seemed like a great roommate, and we got along well. But then I started noticing strange things around the apartment in the morning. Food would be missing from the fridge, and things would be moved around. I assumed it was just James sleepwalking, but didn't give it much thought. One night, I was awakened by a strange noise coming from James's room. At first, it sounded like he was talking to himself, but then I realized it was something else. A low, growling sound that sent chills down my spine. I got up, quietly crept to his door, and listened. The growling got louder and more intense. I opened the door slowly, and as I peered inside, I saw James standing in the middle of the room, his eyes closed. It was a strange and unsettling sight. I felt like I was seeing something that I wasn't supposed to see, and chose to back away and go back to my room. The sounds went on for a few more minutes before they stopped. In the morning, I refrained from mentioning anything to James so as to not embarrass him. He seemed to be acting normal anyway, so I brushed it all under the rug and forgot about it. Another few days went by, and I found myself waking up occasionally to footsteps in the hallways or doors opening and closing, and sometimes even James making that same growling type noise. I knew it was just James sleepwalking, so it didn't frighten me, but I still had trouble falling asleep unless I heard him go back to bed. One night though, I woke up to James's bedroom door closing. Usually he closes the door softly, but this time, it sounded like he had slammed it. My eyes shot open, and I stared at my door as his footsteps slowly crept over and stopped. I could see his shadow underneath the crack in the door. Then the doorknob slowly turned, and he opened the door softly. James's figure stood in the darkness between the doorway. I was frozen, staring at the creepy roommate. I knew it was him sleepwalking, but it was still a creepy sight. Then he began making those same growling noises. After a moment, he stopped. A second later, his eyes shot open, and suddenly, he lunged towards me. But in seconds, he had me pinned down. His eyes were blank and expressionless.
"Stay still,"
he said in a monotone voice, as if he was still asleep.
"Don't move."
I tried to break free, but he was too strong. I felt a deep, intense fear building inside me. And then, just like that, it was over. James released me and slumped off the bed, then lethargically walked back to his room, closing his door softly behind him. I quickly got up and locked my bedroom door, then stayed up for the rest of the night. In the morning, I left for work early, before James even got up. I dreaded the thought of seeing him at home after work, because I knew I would make things awkward. but when I pulled into the driveway, his car wasn't there. I then noticed a lot of things missing from the house, and when I checked his room, it had been emptied. I tried calling James over the next few days, but never got a response. I never heard from him ever again. I have no idea why he left. Maybe he somehow knew what he did and felt ashamed. But if he was truly sleepwalking, then he wouldn't have had any memory of it. It still freaks me out, and my mind associates the encounter with Craigslist, so I stopped using the site. I just hope James really was sleepwalking, because I'm worried that if he wasn't, then he might come back. I had always been a fan of browsing Craigslist for deals and finding unique items that I couldn't find anywhere else. One day I stumbled upon an ad for a vintage record player that was in perfect condition. I couldn't resist sending an email to the seller to inquire about it. To my surprise, the seller responded within minutes, and we quickly began discussing the details of the item. The seller, who went by the name of Jack, seemed friendly and eager to make the sale. We agreed to meet up later that week at his apartment to finalize the purchase. I arrived at the apartment complex at the agreed upon time and made my way to Jack's unit. As soon as I entered the apartment, I could tell there was something off about the place, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. Jack welcomed me in, and I noticed he had a strange energy about him. He was jittery and seemed nervous, but I brushed it off as him being an anxious person. I inspected the record player and was pleased to find that it was in even better condition than the pictures had shown. I was ready to make the purchase when Jack suddenly interrupted me, asking if I wanted to see something really cool that he had in the other room. Feeling a bit hesitant, I agreed to follow him. We made our way to a room at the back of the apartment. The room was filled with a ton of objects and things, seeming to be just a collection of complete random. Jack pointed to a large trunk in the corner of the room and said that he had something inside that I might be interested in. As he opened the trunk, I was hit with a musty smell that made me feel lightheaded. Inside the trunk was an old, tattered white sheet. I could tell something was under it, but I didn't care to see anymore.
Sorry, the smell is just a lot.
I turned my head and started walking back to the other room. He stood by the trunk still, calling me back to just take a quick look and saying that I wouldn't regret it. I was too shaken by the strange feelings to even stay. I ignored him and walked right out his door and out of the apartment complex. I was still extremely lightheaded and only seemed to be getting even more so. I stumbled to my car as fast as my feet could carry me. I got in and drove for maybe 20 seconds, barely getting out of the parking lot before I pulled to the side. I felt like I was going to pass out, and I must have, because a few minutes later, I woke up. I was groggy and lightheaded, but I managed to drive further down the road and turn into a neighborhood where I pulled over and uncontrollably passed out again. This next part was harder for me to remember, but when I woke, it was darker outside and my head was foggy and unclear. I couldn't make out organized thoughts. Everything was just a blur. I somehow managed to drive home, and as the night went on, I slowly gained more consciousness. As soon as I was able to formulate my thoughts, I called the police. They got to the apartment and were allowed in, but Jack claimed that he had no such trunk, and they never found one. Nothing progressed after that night, but I know something was off. Maybe I am just paranoid, and the smell was just a regular smell that made me freak out for some reason, but I'm pretty sure he had some type of narcotic gas coming from the trunk, and if I stayed much longer, I might have never made it out.